welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, the 15th of November, 2011, and I am Bill Buckmaster, your host for the Buckmaster Show on KBOI AM 1030, The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR AM 930 in Douglas. We're live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com, along with an archive of previous programs, also live streaming at kvoi.com. And the Buckmaster Show continues to grow the opportunity for you to listen to the program anywhere, anytime. The show can now be heard anytime as buckmastershow.com. Also, it's available anytime at tucsonsentinel.com. The Sentinel is Southern Arizona's online news service. And thanks to our new agreement with the Tucson Citizen, the Buckmaster Show is available 24/7. At TucsonCitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. On today's show, Gabrielle Giffords speaks to her constituents for the first time since the January 8th shooting. Then we'll explore the question, is civility even possible in political discourse? We'll talk with University of Arizona Professor of Communication, Dr. Kate Kensky, about that. 20 past the hour, it's the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 30 past the hour, Beth Gorman is up from the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. We wrap up the show with our bi-monthly segment on the arts with Tucson Weekly Arts Editor and now Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts, Margaret Regan. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. Call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040, or you can email your questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. If you have a story idea or a particular guest that you want to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Well, it was great to see and hear Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords during the ABC News segment last night. But perhaps even more enlightening about the progress Gabby has made is the one-minute-long recording that was released today by the Congresswoman's office. It is the first time since the January 8th shootings that the U.S. representative has spoken directly to her constituents.
I miss Tucson. The mountains. Blue skies. Even the heat. I'm getting stronger. I'm getting better. It's been a hard year for all of us. Thinking about that day makes me sad. Six people died. Six innocent people. So many people hurt. There is a lot to say. I will speak better. I want to get back to work. Representing Arizona is my honor. My staff is there to help you. They keep me informed. On your behalf, I miss you. I miss home. I'll see you real soon. Thank you.
Gabby Giffords saying she will not return to Congress until she's better. A decision on whether or not she will be returning or running again will not be made, apparently, until May. Well, many believe that a discussion on political civility is needed now more than ever in light of the Tucson shootings on January the 8th. Tucson-based National Institute for Civil Discourse was created shortly after the shootings. It's now funding for University of Arizona researchers working on two independent projects aimed at investigating civility in the public domain. One of those researchers is with us today on the Buckmaster Show. It's Dr. Kate Kensky. She teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methods at the Department of Communication at the University of Arizona. Kate Kensky is the co-author of The Obama Victory, How Media, Money, and Message Shaped the 2008 Election. Kate, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Kate, I want to begin with a question for you. Is it possible to discuss politics and remain civil or polite in America?
Yes, absolutely. But we have some human limitations that do make it difficult, as well as some structures in our political system that also don't necessarily help civility. That said, it is definitely possible. But let me just go through some limitations that we have as humans. Psychologists have, long noted things such as humans tend to be attracted more to negative information than positive information. We tend to remember negative information more. We also are guided by principles of cognitive dissonance, where we have discomfort when we're confronted with conflicting ideas. And consequently, we end up creating worldviews in which, our beliefs are the good ones and other people's beliefs that disagree with us are not. And so all of those things work together to make it very difficult to have pristine discourse, but we can certainly do better than we are currently doing.
Kate Kinski is with us, professor of communication at the University of Arizona. How do you define, Kate Kinski, civility when it comes to the political scene? What's considered civil behavior?
Well, so we're looking for general norms of politeness and tolerance of the other side. This is one of the things that my colleagues, Steve Raines and Kevin Coe and I, have been doing in essentially trying to come up with a coding scheme that we think many, maybe not everyone, but many people would agree with in terms of what constitutes civility. And we have a team of coders at the U of A who are working with us. And this coding scheme has been very difficult to put together because we can talk about general politeness or tolerance, but what is acceptable for you may not be acceptable for me. And so it does make it incredibly difficult. What we're looking at is how people talk, the extent to which they call someone a name in a discussion, because as soon as you start name-calling, that pretty much halts productive discourse. We're looking at aspersions, where essentially it's like name-calling but of ideas or philosophies. We're looking at how people use sarcasm in their language. And probably the biggest factor is the extent to which people call other people liars. Because as soon as you call someone on the other side a liar, there really is no point to continue on the conversation.
Dr. Kinski, I'm curious, did you watch the ABC piece on Giffords last night?
Unfortunately, I did not, no.
Have you seen any of it, or did
yes.
you? You did hear, while you were waiting, probably her message to the constituents, the first time she has spoken
yes.
to the constituents. Any thoughts on what you heard this morning?
Well, I mean, I think she's taking a very pragmatic course of action. I would say that, I think that regardless of people's political points of view, they definitely, the community's rallying behind her and definitely wants to see her better. And, it sounds like to me, like for now, that, she's stepping out, basically so that she, won't be a hindrance to the process, but still is leaving open the possibility of returning once she is stronger.
Getting back to civility, isn't conflict an essential and healthy component of the American political process?
Absolutely, and this is where different people's levels of what's considered acceptable come into play. Because conflict is a part of the process, and it is unproductive. I'm not particularly keen on lines of thought where people say we shouldn't have negativity in politics, because sometimes people will bring forth disagreements, and they should. That's part of the purpose of campaigns, to have these disagreements. The question is the way in which we have them. We can disagree. We can have conflict. We don't have to necessarily reach consensus on everything, but we still have to have norms in terms of how we talk that make it possible that we can continue the conversation, and we don't use language that makes it so the other person is completely seen as an enemy or someone with which there be no point in having future civil discussions.
Allegheny College, I believe, did this study in April 2010, one of the first of its kind. The survey of 1,000 randomly selected Americans was designed to gauge attitudes and perceptions on civility in politics, and a whopping 95% of Americans believe civility in politics is important for a healthy democracy.
I would say it is. And again, part of it is because hopefully it's not just about my side temporarily winning. We want people when they go to Congress or when they go to the state legislature to actually be able to talk with one another, to do something productive, so we're not in a 24-hour campaign cycle. I mean, campaigns should be about a certain period to get people into office, but there should also be periods of governance. And currently our political system seems to be tilting towards the side of everyone campaigning all the time and not necessarily focusing on the kinds of debates we need to have to really better our society.
Dr. Brent Millward, who heads up the Tucson-based National Institute for Civil Discourse, was here on the Buckmaster Show a couple of weeks ago, Kate Kensky, and he says that the Institute is not about being a referee on civil discussion, more lending with research like the research that you and your colleagues are doing at the University of Arizona. Is that how you see it as well?
Definitely. And that is one thing that my colleagues and I, in creating the coding scheme for what is constitutes civil and not civil, we're looking actually at fairly extreme forms of discourse in terms of what we categorize as uncivil, in part because we're hoping that once we finalize this coding scheme and people can take a look at it, that almost everyone will agree that the kinds of things we identified are the kinds of things that are problematic for having civil discussions.
And going back to that Allegheny College survey, nearly half of Americans believe there has been a decline in the tone of politics since President Obama became president. 39% say it has remained the same, and 10% suggest there's been an improvement. What do you say? How do you see the tone right now? Many would say, who've covered politics for a long time, myself included, it seems that each political cycle, it gets worse as far as the strident tone. That's my own personal view anyway.
I would say that in the last decade, that's certainly been true. Part of that may have to do with, really going back to the mid-90s, when there were shifts in the control of Congress. People are put into new roles, and that seemed to facilitate a road of contention. Basically having to negotiate those roles with the Democrats no longer necessarily being guaranteed the leaders in both houses. And there has been research on that which shows that at that moment there were spikes in incivility in what they call a takedown process. And that involves when someone says something highly inappropriate on the floor of Congress, they can take those comments down and essentially have those comments purged from the record. And the number of takedowns increased after that. I think other things that basically have made incivility more likely. The fact that we seem more polarized, not just in terms of the way Congress is laid out, but in terms of how we live our lives. One of the interesting things about recent times is with the explosion of different types of venues where we can get information, that means we have less common ground that we all can turn to. And consequently, people tend to selectively expose their information and pretty much feed themselves a diet of content that they already believe in. And so they're not getting exposed to the other side, and that just makes things all the more contentious when they are confronted with difference.
Dr. Kate Kensky, thank you for being on the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Kensky teaches political communication at the Department of Communication at the University of Arizona. She's the co-author of The Obama Victory, How Media, Money, and Message Shaped the 2008 Election. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, is up next with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Stay with us on The Buckmaster Show.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. East Fort Lowell and Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com. Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And here he is, Shelley Fishman, on the Buckmaster Show Liveline. Shelley, how are you?
Bill, good. How are you today?
Doing real well, Shelley. At what point now will the American markets, the American stock markets, start to discount what's going on in Europe? Or is this something that we're just going to have to live with day by day?
Well, if you mean by discount to ignore, then that's never going to happen. We're so interwoven in today's worldwide economy that the worldwide movements of markets and is always going to affect us. If by discount you mean reduce in value based upon risk, I believe a lot of that has already happened. Problem is the risk perception changes from day to day. And all on Sunday, Berlusconi resigns and we get a new premiere in Italy, and then on Monday, you know, Angela Merkel gets in front of her parliament and basically says, well, you know, we want to go slowly. So the messages coming out of Europe are absolutely mixed, and the amount of discounting that's already in the market doesn't seem to be adequate for markets to hold on to value. As a result, you get these wild swings from day to day.
And with these wild swings, what do you tell your clients? How can they relax to a certain point? Probably it's not possible to relax when you're seeing these huge swings, but how can they feel a bit more confident?
Well, one of the things you have to do is reduce volatility in the choice of investments that you make. So one strategy is to take a defensive posture and invest in the kinds of things that don't seem to react as strongly as other things to the wild swings in equity markets worldwide. The other thing you can do is invest in things that go the opposite way. That's called a hedging strategy, so that when equities go up, they go down, and vice versa. So there's several things you can do. The problem is quite frankly that right now what's happening in Europe is not only affecting equities, it's also affecting bonds and the bond markets. And so the traditional mix of when you want to alleviate volatility, one of the things you very often do is put fixed income in your portfolio by way of bonds or bond funds. The problem is those bond funds right now are reacting as strongly to what's going on in Europe as the equity markets are. And part of the problem is the problem in Europe is in fact a bond problem. It's a problem with the sovereign debt of countries.
And you also need to have the age right off the bat of your client. That is going to be a huge factor.
Well, yeah, if a person is young and they have an appropriate risk tolerance, then you can ride through these things, and so that's okay. But if the ups and downs of the market are going to affect what you can take as income to live on in 2 months or 3 months or even today, then of course it's far more important.
A certified financial planner is what, Shelley Fishman?
Well, a certified financial planner is a person with a lot of training and a lot of studying in the six areas of financial planning, and one of those areas, of course, is investments, and another area is retirements. But most importantly, from my perspective, a certified financial planner is somebody who takes a fiduciary responsibility for the decisions that he or she makes with his or her client.
And it's very important to note, too, that you have a great home base at Pyramid.
God, yes. Pyramid is where I make my home. Pyramid is just a wonderful place to work. Of course, clients don't have to be Pyramid members to work with me, but being there and being in an environment where, number one, all of the products that I deal with are across the board. I have no products that my manufacturer makes, so that I'm not pressured to choose one product or another. I have the full panoply of what's out there to choose from. And the other thing is, quite frankly, I don't have any sales quotas. I mean, my objective from the president of Pyramid is do the right thing for my members, and I'll be happy.
That's a wonderful starting point, isn't it, Shelley?
It really is. And quite frankly, my days of having a boss come down to me and say, how many insurance policies did you sell this week? Those are gone. I don't want to do that anymore.
Shelley, in the minute and a half remaining, your prediction on the market. The market's pretty flat today, last time I looked.
Yeah, up and down. My prediction, if you mean for the end of the year,
yes,
is where I have been the whole time. I believe we'll end somewhere at around 12,400, 12,500 on the Dow. That's about a 6% yearly gain.
And you're counting, I guess, on the feel-good kind of the holiday season rally, something along those lines.
Yeah, we're halfway there. I mean, 3% is just 2 good days, and then it has to hold.
Yeah, okay. Shelley Fishman, I think the best advice you could give would be what to the Buckmaster Show listener?
Don't do it yourself. Get professional advice, then get a second opinion.
Where can folks reach you, Shelley?
795-7950 or www.shelleyfishman.com.
And you do return emails and phone calls?
I better.
Shelley, have a great week. We'll see you in studio with us next week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities and insurance products offered through LPL Financial and its affiliates. Member FINRA. Pyramid Federal Credit Union is not a registered broker-dealer, nor is it affiliated with LP Financial.
SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Maybe up to a state judge in New York to decide if anti-capitalism protests can resume and the demonstrators can again camp out in a park in Lower Manhattan. Police and riot gear raided the encampment before dawn today, evicting hundreds of demonstrators and demolishing their tent city. The park was then cleaned. Herman Cain, trying to show that he understands national security and foreign policy issues, a day after the GOP presidential candidate stumbled when asked about Libya. White House hopeful Mitt Romney is criticizing President Obama for saying the U.S. has grown a bit lazy in trying to attract business to America. Updating Wall Street, the Dow is up 30 points at 12,109, the NASDAQ trading 29 points higher. More details at srnnews.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
There are times when you save, and there are times when you
save big.
Whoa. Take vehicle loans, for instance. Any time of the year, Pyramid Federal Credit Union can help you save with lower rates. But now, for a limited time, we're helping you
save big.
That means rates as low as 4.5% APR when you buy or refinance a vehicle loan. Plus terms up to 60 months, whether it's new or used. You won't just save. You'll
save big.
That never gets old. Stop by any Pyramid Federal Credit Union or visit us at pyramidfcu.com to learn more. That's 4.5% APR vehicle loans for a limited time. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options.
That's huge.
Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Learn more at pyramidfcu.com. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
Thirty-four on the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. We are here live Monday through Friday, noon to 1. And our home station for the Buckmaster Show is AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. It is Southern Arizona's strongest, most powerful news talk station. Then with our simulcast partners in Globe and in Douglas, we have Southern Arizona covered from one end to the other. For our friends down in Green Valley, we want to point out that the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality will be holding a public hearing. That's actually this afternoon on the request by ASARCO for a revision to the ASARCO Mission Complex Air Quality Permit. The open pit copper mine operates along I-19 in Sahuarita. Joining us is Beth Gorman from the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Good to see you, Beth.
Thank you, Bill. Wonderful to be here.
What's at stake with this public hearing? What's this all about?
Well, basically, when we do any sort of revisions to a permit, this is an existing permit, but when we do a revision, we like to get comments from the public. And because you know what? There's a lot of expertise out here, especially in the Green Valley area. There's a lot of people that may take a look at our draft and say, well, you know what? You could tweak it here, or you could add something here that would really help this permit be more effective at reducing air pollution.
We want to point out that folks who are interested in attending that hearing, it will be at the Joyner Green Valley Branch Library. That's 601 North La Canata Drive in Green Valley. That's from 5 to 6, and everyone is invited, Beth, I guess, to come up to the podium and make a comment, or they can do a written comment?
Right. They can either speak to us about the revisions, or they can, we'll have comment cards there, or they can bring in comments that they've written, and we will take those comments into consideration as we move forward finalizing and making a determination on this air quality permit.
790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. Beth Gorman is with us from the Pima County Environmental Quality. How would you characterize, Beth, the air quality this autumn season? We've had some very dusty days before the rains came and really made some air quality concerns.
We did, and we've had several times this year where we've had the high winds especially that bring in the dust from areas and also pick up dust here locally when we've got land that's been disturbed and there's no vegetation on it and people are using it maybe to park cars or to ride bikes, or lots of disturbed soil like that will become airborne when we have high winds. And we've had several days this year where we've had problems.
But generally, is our air quality pretty good here in Pima County?
For a community our size, our air quality is very good. We are, at this point, we are attaining all of the health standards. We do have concerns, as you mentioned, on certain days for particulates. And then also during the summertime, we sometimes have issues with a pollutant called ground-level ozone. But in general, we do have many, many days of great air quality.
You know, the Tucson winter is approaching. I guess our winter is nothing compared to what other people would consider winter in other parts of the country, but it certainly is a cooler time of the year here and does mean a change, I guess, as far as the air quality.
Well, yeah, and I've gotten calls already. We did have a couple of cold days recently. It seems like it's warmed up a little bit now. But basically what happens during the winter is that cold air that's up in the mountains overnight, it just sinks down into the valley and it stays very stagnant, and it collects whatever we put into that air in the morning and overnight. So if we've got our fireplaces going, if we've got our vehicles idling, all of that pollution will stay in that cold, dense, stagnant air right close to where we breathe. And we can see that. It often becomes very visible in the morning. You see kind of a brown haze just, you know, close to the surface. And then above it, you'll see clear mountain views. So that's what we call a temperature inversion.
And what is that? What can that do to our health? I mean, you wouldn't think that soupy look would be all that healthy for you.
Right. It definitely concentrates the pollution close to the surface. And but then as the sun comes up over the Rincon Mountains and warms up the air, it rises and it takes that pollution with it up higher and helps to dissipate it. But whatever we can do in order to reduce the emissions that we put into the air is definitely going to help and keep the levels healthy.
How about fireplaces? I was reading a national piece that there's been a huge increase in many parts of the country because of the economy, people using wood-burning fireplaces mm-hmm. instead of turning on the heat. That's probably not the driver of using fireplaces here in Tucson. It's more an aesthetic thing. I think people like to have the fire going.
Right. It is true. There are a lot of people that use it just for the ambiance of the flicker of the flames, but there are also people that need it for their sole source of heat. And for those, you know, for those people, then it's fine. What we do recommend, though, is that if you are using your fireplace just because you like to watch the flames, make sure that you're burning wood that's dry, that's seasoned, small pieces of wood, because it burns hotter and makes the fire much more efficient. And then once in a while, go outside and check and make sure that the smoke is not going over into your neighbor's yard, because that's the problem that we have. Is I get lots of calls from people who can't even go outside and walk their neighborhoods because the smoke from the fireplaces is bothering them so much.
It might not be a bad idea, and we have done this, invest in a chimney sweep to come out and make sure everything is okay with the chimney and the fireplace. And I couldn't believe the difference after we had a chimney sweep come out.
Really?
The difference that it made in the draw of the
exactly.
fire. I mean, it was
right.
really, it was tremendous. So, I mean, there are these people that clean chimneys here in Southern Arizona, so it might not be a bad idea. Rose, I know, is laughing in the other room. Yeah, they are chimney sweeps. They wear little black hats, and, you know, they have
little
brooms,
broom
or something
right?
like that.
That's important to do, because you also don't want to have a fire in your fireplace.
You don't.
Up in the chimney part.
I want to point out, we are not on TV. Of course, we're on radio, so people cannot see this beautiful poster that I have in front of me. 51 ways to green the earth. This is a new poster from the Pima County Environmental Quality, the Clean Air Program. It's a beautiful poster. How would you describe this poster, since it's pretty much your idea, you and your colleagues?
Yes, well, we wanted something that would be so beautiful that people would be immediately attracted to it. And then we were hoping that they would also learn from it as well. And we have an incredible illustrator at the county. His name is Bill Singleton. And he drew all of the wildlife that's depicted and the vegetation that's depicted on the poster. And then my staff and I came up with different ways that people, easy, simple things that we can incorporate in our daily lives that will help save money most of the time and reduce energy use and improve the environment.
Let's talk about some of the 51 ways that you can green the earth. You want to give us a few of your 51 tips?
Well, we could talk about reducing water use by sweeping instead of using the hose. I see that. That's just something that I see all the time, how in the desert people could think that it's okay to squirt the hose on their driveway
and
or
the
their
back
sidewalks.
Patio.
Right.
Yes.
You know, brooms can be very effective in something like that. So that's easy. I mean, that's easy. Sometimes you just don't even think about it, but that would be something good. Also, maybe try vintage clothing.
Ah, I think that's our producer Rosemary Brandt's favorite.
Yes.
Where secondhand vintage clothing.
Yes.
Very much in these days. So
exactly.
Guess that.
And when you think about it, then, you know, all of that processing to grow the cotton, to, you know, to form the clothing and all of that, the transportation back and forth to the stores, the shipping, that's, you don't have to deal with that, because you can buy local and buy something that's already been manufactured.
Is drive less on there?
Of course. That's like our big thing. The majority of our air pollution is caused by motor vehicle use. So whatever we can do to try to drive our vehicles less, if we could carpool once in a while, maybe jump on the bus, ride our bikes. Also, we all need more exercise. So that's a good thing. And there's a zillion, literally, lots of things.
Keep the tire pressure.
That's
important.
I couldn't
believe when I had not checked it in many, many weeks, had like basically 20 pounds
Ooh.
Of air per tire when it requires 38. It's just something you don't check.
Exactly. And if we can try it once a month, check your tires, because your tires will last longer, so it'll save you money that way. It saves gasoline because there's less drag on the road. But the other thing is that it's a safety issue, too. If you've got low tires, you won't brake as well, and the car won't handle as well. So it's really critical to check that every month.
Well, congratulations on this poster. It literally is suitable for framing. It is really beautiful. 51 Ways to Green the Earth, and this is available on your website?
Correct. Right on the homepage, deq.pima.gov. You just scroll down a little bit. You'll see right in the center of our homepage a part of the poster.
I love the hummingbird. Great critters depicted in the poster. Beth Gorman, thanks for being with us, and have a great afternoon.
My pleasure.
Beth Gorman with us from Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Coming up next, Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly Arts Editor and now Buckmaster Show contributor on the arts with her bi-monthly arts report. That's next.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you too can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
$12.49 on the Buckmaster Show, and every other Tuesday, at least we're kind of shooting for that, every other Tuesday to have Margaret Regan, Tucson Weekly Arts Editor, and now we are happy to say, pat ourselves on the back, the Buckmaster Show Contributor on the Arts. Margaret, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
You'll be writing about a very interesting mid-century masters artist show that'll be going on, actually it's going on already.
It's already on
at the Tucson Jewish Community Center. What's this one about?
This is a really interesting show. It has a lot of big names in it. Alexander Calder, Robert Motherwell, Marc Chagall, Jacques Lipschitz, mid-century masters of modernist art. And the reason they're here at the JCC is that a number of them, during World War II, were escapees from the Nazis. They were helped out of France by a young, forgotten American man named Varian Fry, smuggled Marc Chagall, many others, out of France and into the safety of New York, in 1940, 1941, before he himself was expelled from France. The group that sent him over there in the beginnings of World War II was the Emergency Rescue Committee, which is the forerunner of a group called the International Rescue Committee, still around, still here in Tucson, and still resettling refugees from wars around the world. Right now, they have a lot of people from Bhutan, Somalia, Afghanistan, Iraq. So 20 years after the war, Varian Fry got these artists to make these prints and donate them to the International Rescue Committee, which they did do. So here in Tucson, we're privileged to have 12 of these original hand-pulled lithographic prints by some of the great artists of the 20th century in this very interesting show. And all these prints, some of them are difficult to look at because they're all on the theme of flight. And a lot of them show people struggling out of places. They're modernist styles. They're not realistic, but we pick up the terror of fleeing from bombs and fires and the devastations of war.
So these plates then were destroyed by the artists?
That's right. They made the original print. They made 250 hand-pulled prints, destroyed the plates to maintain the value of the existing prints, and donated all 250 of those prints to the International Rescue Committee. So I guess they've been kicking around now since the late 60s, and the IRC decided to send them on a tour around the country to alert people to the fact that despite all of our best efforts of saying never again after the Holocaust and World War II, we have many Holocausts and genocides, of course, as we all know, in the years since. And so to bring attention to their work, that there are many millions of displaced persons in the world today.
Good idea for the Jewish Community Center to host this important exhibit to raise awareness about refugees in our community. And this show will be up through December the 4th.
That's right. But the plan is to bring it around Tucson to many different venues. During the month of December, it will be at the main library downtown. During the month of February, it will be at Oro Valley Public Library. And the organizers are still hoping to find more venues so that everybody gets a chance to see it.
Well, it's definitely worthwhile. Pay a visit. The poet Charles Alexander, he has a reading tomorrow night.
Yes,
this
he
is
does.
Part of the Emily Dickinson.
Charles helped us kickstart the whole big Emily Dickinson big read with a wonderful lecture.
The big read, that's right.
In September at the Poetry Center. But this time, I'm happy to say Charles, who has done so much to promote so many other poets, is giving a rare reading of his own work here in his hometown, his fifth book of poetry called Pushing Water. Charles is pretty well known around the country in poetry circles. I think he's less well known in Tucson because when he's here, he's the publisher of Chax Press. He's always promoting other people's work and doing his teaching. You know, he does a lot of teaching at the university and I think sometimes at Pima about poetry. So I think this is a really nice event that he's doing a reading of his own work tomorrow night at Casa Libre on 4th Avenue.
And for folks who want to do some gallery viewing downtown, something going on at Etherton?
Etherton,
what's Terry up to now?
Terry is up to something exciting. There is an Australian Tucson artist, which is an unusual combination, I must say, a woman named Kate Brakey that Terry has championed for many years.
I have seen her book.
Yeah. One of the suites of work that she's best known for are she lives way out in the desert. She picks up little dead animals.
Dead critters.
Makes gigantic photos of them and then paints them and does colored pencil drawings. They are wonderful and profound meditations on life and death, as unlikely as that may sound. But this show is going to be a retrospective or 30-year retrospective. It's only the second time that Etherton has done a retrospective of an artist's work. The last one was Bailey Dugan some years ago. Terry thinks that's highly of Kate Brakey's many different suites of work. And one of the ones that I'm really interested in seeing are big landscape black and whites by her, which we haven't seen her do before. And they gave them the title Slow Light because I think it's about the slow light seeping into the landscape. She grew up in the open spaces of Australia, and, you know, Tucson and the desert are very compatible with her vision.
Very much so. 12:56 on the Buckmaster Show. Margaret Regan is with us talking about what's going on in the arts scene in Tucson. And I'll put a plug in, speaking of the arts, for my own show. Tomorrow we have Lydia Millett, the Pulitzer Prize finalist novelist. She has a new book out called Ghost Lights, and she will be with us on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. Hey, how does it feel to be the mom of a rock star?
Oh, it feels excellent, Bill.
When we were talking about rock and roll at the Tucson Museum of Art, you didn't tell me that you are the mom of your son is in a band called Lake Signs.
That's right.
Lake Signs.
Yeah, Lake Signs. My son is Will Gosner. Grew up here in Tucson. In fact, grew up at the Tucson Weekly, and he wrote a piece about that.
He was crawling around the floor on the Weekly.
Crawling around and growing up, and he did a lot of stuff at the Weekly. He wrote a piece about it a couple years ago for the 25th anniversary issue, but that was kind of an unusual setting, as you can imagine, being a little kid at an alternative newspaper. He's now living in Chicago. He went to school up there.
My hometown.
Is it your hometown?
Yes, it is.
He loves Chicago. One of the things he says about Chicago is the wide open skies and the lake remind him of the West, interestingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, the lake reminds me of an ocean. I mean, it's like being on an ocean.
It's big open space.
Right.
So this band, Lake Signs, that he's in, has just released their first album, Imboden Hoxie, named after a couple of towns in Arkansas that they passed through. They've done a bunch of tours, this young band. And they actually got a record deal with a Texas company called Ponderosa Records.
What's the music?
It's indie rock. And I'm sure your young assistant, Rosemary, could explain it more to both of us.
My producer, Rosemary, has already gone to the website and listened to it. Rose said she likes it very much, shaking her head in the affirmative.
Right.
Where can people find out more about
They can go to the website, lakesignsmusic.com. And I want to put a little plug in for two songs that are actually about Tucson. So Will's bringing the news of Tucson up to the Midwest. One song is about our border tragedies, and it's called Sunset Limited. Uses the framework of the train that goes through the Southwest for the lyrics about our border tragedies.
Right, the Sunset Limited.
The Sunset Limited, which I think is quite poetic.
So Will, is he the lead singer in the group?
Yes, he is. Well, there are two lead singers and two songwriters, and he's one of the songwriters and one of the singers.
Was he writing songs even as a kid?
A little bit, not so much. I would say he always played guitar. He studied with Bill Gans, by the way, a well-known musician in Tucson.
Hmm.
who's playing a lot around town. He's doing something with the Tucson Symphony Orchestra this year.
So if our listeners are curious, it's Lake, L-A-K-E, then Sign, S-I-N, S-I-G-N, music.com.
Yes.
Lake Sign
Lake
Music.
Lake Signs. Yeah, the word
Lake
comes
Lake Signs Music.com.
Apparently, at the edge of Lake Michigan in Chicago, there are all these little signs alerting people to what's going on in the lake. And as a kid who grew up in the desert, Will absolutely fell in love with that lake. So that's where the title of the band comes from.
I do remember those signs. Usually it was like the water temperature is 58 degrees.
Yeah.
And it was a day in July. Yeah. So I do remember the signs. To recap, we have Support the Refugees in Tucson. That's at the Tucson Jewish Community Center, the Mid-Century Masters Interpret the Escape for Survival. That's kind of our lead item here on the Buckmaster Show this week with Margaret Regan. Margaret, have a great week. Thanks.
You too, Bill. Thank you.
Margaret Regan with us. Every other Tuesday, we hope to have Margaret with us. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants, 2919 East Broadway, and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That's going to do it today for the Buckmaster Show. We are here live noon to one, Monday through Friday. We will see you tomorrow. Lydia Millett will be with us, Pulitzer Prize finalist, novelist, talking about her new book, Ghost Lights. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.